Hello and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Monday, January 10th. Coming up on today's show, with hundreds of healthcare workers in the province isolating due to COVID-19, David Gordon Koch asks officials from unions representing healthcare workers how the current rapid spread of the virus is affecting their members and the operation of the Sackville Memorial Hospital. And we talk with local cafe owner Alan Barber about his decision to temporarily close the Black Duck amidst capacity restrictions and customer concerns about the Omicron variant. But first, more local news and information. Sackville didn't get the most snow in the province in Friday's storm, but the nearly 25 centimeters registered by Environment Canada at the Nepean Weather Station was enough to keep people busy digging and plowing out over the weekend. The Sackville Farmers Market embraced the challenge posed by Saturday's snow day, challenging customers to arrive at the Saturday market by ski, snowshoe, and even dog sled. The weather meant early closure for the town of Sackville and Roses Independent, and it also meant the cancellation of a COVID-19 vaccination clinic that was slated to happen at the Sackville Visitor Information Center. Public Health says it will be calling to rebook appointments for those scheduled for Friday's clinic. The next clinic in Sackville is not scheduled until January 24th, though that is expected to change in the wake of the canceled clinic and increasing eligibility for booster shots, which starts today. At a news conference Friday morning, Health Minister Dorothy Shepherd announced that anyone 18 or over will be able to book a third shot starting today, as long as 5 months have passed since their second dose. That means if you are 18 or over and had your second shot by August 10th, 2021, you will be able to book an appointment for a booster either through a pharmacy or through the New Brunswick Public Health website at gnb.ca/bookavaccine. Corner Drugstore pharmacist Charles Beaver reminds people not to call to book with Corner Drug, but to register on the pharmacy's website instead at thecornerdrugstore.ca. On Friday, Shepherd encouraged anyone who is currently eligible for a booster to beat the anticipated rush today and book their booster dose immediately.
If you are 50 and older and have not yet booked your booster dose, now is the time to do so. We'll continue to make more appointments available in the coming weeks, but beginning Monday, many more New Brunswickers will be eligible for their booster.
5 months ago, on August 10th, 2021, about 480,000 people had received two shots of a COVID-19 vaccine in New Brunswick. Not quite all of those people are now eligible, as that number includes people 12 and over, and only those 18 and over are now eligible for boosters. As of Thursday last week, just over 164,000 people, about 21% of the population, had received their booster shot. About 14% of the province's population remain unvaccinated as of Thursday, including kids under 5 who are not yet eligible. The province has also made changes to eligibility for testing, though in this case it's growing more limited due to increasing demands on testing capacity in the province. Last week, the province announced that its lab testing would be reserved for those with symptoms over 50 years of age, or those who are pregnant, immunocompromised, or working in hospitals or residential institutions. Anyone else is being asked to use a rapid test if they are concerned that they may have contracted COVID-19. But even those people will have limited access to rapid test kits, which are now only being given to those with symptoms who have registered in advance with public health. In Sackville, rapid test kits have only been available for pickup on a weekly basis, with a Horizon van setting up distribution every Tuesday in the parking lot of the Tantramar Civic Center. The weekly schedule for pickup no longer works now that people must wait for symptoms before requesting a test kit. Minister Shepherd said on Friday that changes would come this week to have kits available more often in rural areas such as Sackville.
That's actually one of the logistics that we are still trying to work out. We realize that we need to make them available more than once a week. So hopefully in the very next couple of business days, we're going to have that result.
Rapid tests have been working to identify cases of COVID-19 in the province. Shepherd said that last week, just over 2,000 people in the province reported positive rapid test results on the province's website. Those cases have not been confirmed by PCR testing and have not been added to the province's official COVID case counts. The number of people in hospital due to COVID-19 was up to 79 on Sunday, with 17 people in intensive care. Another person has died from COVID-19 in the province, with the death toll now reaching 172. Sackville Town Council will have its first meeting of 2022 tonight. Anyone wanting to attend the meeting in person must register in advance with Town Clerk Donna Beale. Up to 10 people will be able to attend the meeting in person. The meeting will also be live streamed, and citizens can also participate with Microsoft Teams. Check chmafm.com for links. Today's agenda includes changes to the street traffic bylaw and the parks bylaw, and the cancellation of the Winterfest Festival, which was slated for February. School resumes tomorrow, but children won't be returning to the classroom. The provincial government announced last month students will move to home learning because of the highly contagious Omicron variant of COVID-19. Many parents have expressed frustration about the plan, saying children struggle to learn from home. Other concerns include balancing childcare with work and social isolation for kids. Teachers are back at work today in order to prepare for online learning on Tuesday. Nearly 200 COVID-positive healthcare workers in the Horizon Health Network were isolating by Friday, according to the Regional Health Authority. It's unclear how many workers at Sackville Memorial Hospital are affected, but that figure included 41 healthcare staff in the Southeast region overall. CHMA journalist David Gordon Koch reached out to officials from unions representing healthcare workers to learn how the rapid spread of COVID-19 is affecting their members and hospital operations.
The Canadian Union of Public Employees represents approximately 140 job classifications in the healthcare system. Examples include pandemic screeners, security guards, clerical staff, patient care attendants, maintenance workers, housekeeping, and dietary staff. Norma Robinson is president of the New Brunswick Council of Hospital Unions, QP Local 1252.
You know, there's a significant number of people that are out of the system right now isolating because of exposure, which certainly puts a strain on the system. But we, as the public sector unions, we've worked with the Department of Health and Treasury Board to ensure that there's the ability to assign people to help the system to maintain services for the public.
With the more contagious Omicron variant of COVID-19 spreading, she said the province is working with the union to get the personal protective equipment needed to safeguard healthcare workers.
They are procuring or purchasing the KN95 mask or the N95 mask for further protection for those that are working directly with patients that might be, you know, compromised due to the virus. So there has been a lot of work, and there continues to be work moving forward to ensure that the required PPEs under the guidelines is covered. And that's where we are currently today.
Robinson said everyone is doing their part to ensure patients, staff, and the general public are protected, but those efforts could result in delays.
I think we just all need to be very patient and work together to ensure that everybody is treated and looked after in the best time frame that they can. And, you know, just be realizing that there could be delays in service and there could be delays in getting through the door, even through the pandemic screening. I mean, everything is taking a longer time, but rest assured, everyone is working together to ensure that, you know, the service will be provided, and it might take a little bit longer, but we're there to serve, and we're trying to keep everybody healthy and safe.
As for conditions at the Sackville Memorial Hospital, Robinson said she wasn't aware of any particular concerns by Friday morning. Elena Best is a nursing unit clerk at the Sackville Hospital, where she has worked for more than 10 years.
So I'm on the inpatient unit. We only have one inpatient unit at the Sackville Hospital. So I'm the one that does the orders. I process the doctor's orders and enter orders for patients, like blood work and x-rays, that type of thing. I order supplies.
Best, who is also the QP union president at the hospital, said the first few months of the pandemic were especially nerve-wracking for healthcare workers.
There was so much unknown. We were being told it could be transmitted through surfaces, potentially through clothing. Like, we were changing our clothing before we went home, scared to even go home because of possibly infecting our families. I think it's still hard for people. There's still so much unknown, and there's a lot of change. Even the rules keep changing. It's hard to know what's right or wrong because they change so much. We have provincial directions as well as internal ones through the hospital. So we do what we do to keep people safe. We're very fortunate to be provided with adequate PPE, unlike some places. And I'm extremely grateful for that. I can't imagine being in a situation where it wasn't readily available, or bigger cities and things where it's being used so much more.
She said healthcare workers are also reassured by information indicating the effects of Omicron are less severe, especially following the rollout of vaccines. She said support from the public, including rallies at the hospital, has also helped boost morale. Paula Doucette, president of the New Brunswick Nurses Union, said nurses are absolutely exhausted almost 2 years into the pandemic as the Omicron variant sweeps across New Brunswick and the country. The union represents about 9,000 members, including registered nurses, nurse practitioners, and licensed practical nurses. Doucette said retention and recruitment are major issues at the Sackville Memorial Hospital, resulting in ongoing service reductions.
They're trying their very hardest to recruit more people to the area and trying to keep all services running full tilt. But with a skeleton crew, it's getting more difficult. And not only nurses, but other healthcare providers are not robots. They need some downtime. They need time off. And in this instance, we've seen the reduction of service and the closures of the ERs overnights and over weekends because there's just not enough personnel to adequately and safely provide that care to the community. It's most unfortunate. But I don't think Sackville is unique. There's many places across this province and across Canada, in fact, that are facing the same dilemmas because there are not enough healthcare providers to do the delivery of healthcare the way that we expect it.
In the future, Doucette suggested the delivery of healthcare in Sackville could involve what she called a multidisciplinary clinic instead of a hospital, although she acknowledged it's a big debate.
And right now we know, in particular, Sackville is struggling to maintain emergency service. But is there an ability to have a multidisciplinary clinic so that the community has access to, say, a nurse practitioner and registered nurses and licensed practical nurses and dietitians and social workers and psychologists? And because we all know right now that the wait time for some of these other professionals is great. But if we had some type of multifaceted and multidisciplinary clinic that would complement one another. Maybe you're going in with something and you don't really need to see a physician. Maybe it's a dietitian that you need to see about it, your newly diagnosis of being a diabetic and proper food choices, or something about your insulin. You may want to speak to the diabetic nurse. So I think we need to look at what is it that we're moving forward with in the future when it comes to healthcare.
Members of the union recently voted to ratify two collective agreements with the province for nurses and nurse managers in the hospital system. The union is going back to the table later this month as negotiations continue with the New Brunswick Association of Nursing Homes. For CHMA, this is David Gordon-Koch.
The Black Duck Cafe has closed for the time being due to the rapid spread of the Omicron variant and increased restrictions that limit capacity at the shop. Co-owner Alan Barber says the shop's sister business, Quality Grocery, remains open for business, and some staff will continue to work there while others have been laid off. I called up Barber last week to find out more about his decision and the prognosis for the popular Bridge Street Cafe. Tell us about your decision to stay closed. I gather you took a bit of a Christmas break and then decided not to reopen?
Yeah, we closed over Christmas basically because of the current COVID wave to see what was going on. And we decided to just stay closed, keep the cafe closed. We have our grocery store. It's open. We built the grocery store in case we did get another wave. But at the current time, it's just with the reduction in the amount of people we're allowed to have in the building, as well as the virulence of the current variant, that we think that probably the best thing to do is to just stay closed.
Stay closed for now. Now, I'm guessing you would have had to lay off your employees.
Yeah, a few people work at the store, but yeah, I guess like the thing about the cafe and it's a business, and the only way to operate a business is if it's profitable. There's no opportunity to run a business that doesn't make money. There's no supports anymore like there were during the first wave for small businesses. Like, the provincial government is zero. Like, they didn't really do much for the first wave either. But then the programs offered by the federal government, they're not the same sort of caliber as they were before. So, you know, when we like, our business is designed to be full. It's not mm-hmm. designed to run at half, and not even half, I guess, because of the layout of our space. If we put 6 feet between tables, it allows us to have 12 people in the whole space, you know, to operate a 12 person space, you know, mm-hmm. with a barista and then kitchen, you've got almost as many staff as you have customers.
Yeah. Tell me a bit about the difference between, like, the amount of assistance that's available, especially, you know, between the first wave and now. I mean, arguably, it's even a little harder for businesses now because they've already, you know, those who are still around have made it through that first wave and might not have a huge margin for taking a loss, I guess. So, is the need sort of greater now, would you think, for that assistance, but yet it's not there from the government?
I guess, like, unfortunately, I can understand why the government is not continuing to support small businesses, especially restaurants. I guess that, you know, unfortunately, the way that our system is set up, that you have to adapt to the reality or you go out of business. And I think that, you know, in a situation like Sackville, we actually have a lot of restaurants. Mm-hmm. It's kind of surprising, but we have one restaurant for about every 250 people who live in Sackville. Even in the good times of 2019, that is too many restaurants. I'm not sure why so many people opened restaurants in the last, you know, 10, 15 years, but there's definitely too many of them. And it doesn't really make sense for the government to support restaurants going forward. Like, this Omicron outbreak was sort of unexpected. I would hope that this is the end, but, you know, when we talked last year, when we reopened in yes. December, we were all hoping that it was over. So I wouldn't be surprised. I would be a little disappointed if we were having the same conversation next winter. So one has to ask, how long would the government support independent businesses for, you know? But yeah, the same sort of, before there was like stronger wage subsidization, there was rent subsidization, and there was also a loan, non-interest loan with a forgivable component to it. And those things don't exist now. So those made it easy to stay open even at a loss. And it made, you know, it gave the restaurants the ability to try to buy some time and then this summer to adapt and to hopefully come out the other end, you know, somewhat stronger or more resilient to future outbreaks. So what we did is we built a grocery store and we built a patio. The timing of this outbreak, the patio doesn't really help us out because it's winter, but the grocery store is doing great. And it's helping us continue to keep the business alive, but our dining room is closed.
Right.
That's not such a weird thing. If you live in a lot of parts of the Maritimes, restaurants are often seasonal anyway. So if we just look at it as sort of being seasonal, the idea that we're closed for a few weeks over the winter, it's not such a crazy idea. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we may have to do that in the future. You know, winter is a challenging time for restaurants across the board. We do have this sort of like perception, or at least people who aren't in the business have a perception that somehow we're shielded from the winter slowdown because we have a university in our town, but that's not true. And it's great to have a university here, but it's not a panacea. It doesn't solve restaurants' winter problems. We're way busier, and I would suggest that most restaurants in Sackville are way busier in the summer than they are in January and February, even with the university.
Do you have a sense of what it will take, or at what point you might consider reopening the cafe?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are lots of things we can do. One is to feel motivated to do something interesting, and also to feel like there's an audience for that. Right after Christmas, people have kind of partied out, you know, and everyone's kind of willing to hunker down. There's the concept of like takeout, although takeout, which you'll read often about restaurants doing lots of takeout, but there are usually restaurants that are in cities, not restaurants that are in little towns. So takeout's not a huge component. I don't think that would be something we were thinking about doing, but I'm looking at it and investigating further. I don't think that there's a huge market for that. But yeah, we still own a restaurant, and we're still entrepreneurs and restaurateurs, and we will probably do things over the next while. I guess part of it is wanting there to be customers who are interested in doing something. At this point in time, I feel like most people just are totally content after Christmas to hunker down and sort of like try to get through the next couple of weeks. And the other thing is to also be motivated personally to do something else. Like, it's been 2 years of pivoting, to use the word that everyone uses, but it just gets tiring after a while. And it's like, you know, Sarah, my partner, and I, like, I think we had 2 days off since March. Like, it's just been really hard, and a lot. And that's not by design. I'm not like a martyr, and I like to have days off. So, but I think like when things will come back to more normalcy is when the 50% the restriction that means we can only have 50% seating is lifted by the provincial government.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a good measure. So I guess it sort of depends on how quickly Omicron's over, and also what ideas you and your partner Sarah come up with in the meantime.
Yeah, or just like even the regulations and how people feel. Right now, people, it's like, I guess from like a from the business perspective, is it's like what my feelings are about it are sort of secondary to the customers. If the customer is uncomfortable coming out, then there's no sense being opened. If the customer, the general public, decides, hey, you know, this isn't such a big deal, we're all going to go out, then we will adapt to that. But at this point in time, it seems pretty obvious that most people just want to like try to hide from Omicron.
All right. Well, Al, I appreciate you taking some time to tell us about it today. And yeah, we look forward to some time in the future when the Black Deck is open. In the meantime, we'll see you at Quality Grocery.
Great, thanks.
That was Quality Grocery and Black Duck Cafe co-owner Alan Barber speaking with me last week. That's it for CHMA's Tantrum Hour Report for this Monday, January 10th. As always, we hope you'll get in touch with comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening. Thank you.